Welcome to the episode of Fun Times with Prathamesh and Pranya.
Hi Prathamesh, it's been such a long while again. Why such a long time?
Such a long time. So, it was a long time as we were traveling everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. We had a vacation, we were traveling everywhere. So then let's move on to what is today's proverb. Yes.
The proverb is, when in Rome, do what the Romans do.
Can you repeat it?
When in Rome, do what the Romans do.
When in Rome, do as the Romans do, or when in Rome, do what the Romans do. Okay, what does that mean?
That means, let's say you went to a friend's house. And there were rules in the friend's house. Like, let's say, do your chores before you eat. You'll have to follow that rules so you can be respectful.
You can be respectful, yes. Or wherever, does it just apply to your friend's place?
Let's say you move to another country. And then there were some.
Like we have moved to another country.
You have to eat with your right hand. So you'll try to eat with your right hand so you can be respectful.
Okay, that's what. So eating with hand.
Or you have to drive on the left side of the road.
That is a rule. That's not a custom. But for example, in Jakarta, we don't see a lot of honking of cars, right?
So you don't honk your horn. So because that would be rude.
That would be rude.
Because of the noise, and also you're not doing as they do.
And if you honk the horn a lot, then what will happen?
Noise pollution.
But basically, you will annoy people, right?
Yes, and then people might call the police.
People might really call the police. I'm not sure about that.
Well, people might shout at you.
Yeah, they'll get annoyed. But the fact is that wherever, you know, not just in a different country. For example, you went to library. Everybody's quiet. You have to follow. You know, when you are a part of
library behave like the readers. When in the library, do as the readers do.
Right. So people are sitting and quietly, you know, nobody really says, there is nobody talking. So, you know, although this is also a rule that in library, there's not much talking going on. And there many libraries write that as a rule, but in some cases, they don't always write. So you have to, wherever you go to a new group, you have to first observe how the group behaves.
Yes.
And then you try to sort of gel in, right? You don't want to unnecessarily be disrespectful wherever possible for you, right? Wherever it is possible, you know?
Yes.
But sometimes the group has a rule that you will not be able to follow. For example, if you enter a group which is full of people who, let's assume that, you know, you have a dairy allergy, right? But the whole group is full of yogurt lovers. And they, you know, yogurt or milk lovers, let's say milk lovers, they are drinking different flavored milks like chocolate milk or let's say a different type of fruit shakes like milkshakes and all, like, you know, ice cream milkshake and all. Then will you be able to drink that?
No.
So what will you try to do then?
I'll try to ask the group leader.
Yeah, you'll try to find a substitute, like, you know, there is a substitute to...
Or the manager of...
Non-dairy, there is a non-dairy substitutes available, right? That you can drink water or you can drink
water,
a fruit juice.
Everybody
Yeah, but you can drink water. Fruit juice if somebody, you know, or you can drink almond milk, for example, which is not
or
the...
soy
milk. Or you can just politely tell why you cannot follow that custom, right? Although you would love to be with this particular group, but you are not able to follow the custom. Or for example, you know, a lot of my friends are meat eaters, but I'm a vegetarian. And if I go on dinners with them, I politely tell them that please you go ahead with what you are eating, but I won't be able to. So I try to follow the rules wherever possible, but there are some rules which are very difficult for us to follow, where you have to be very polite and tell them that, you know, you won't be able to follow the rule. But in general, to gel into a group,
what is gel, by the way?
To mix well into a group, you try to, wherever possible, you try to follow their customs, right? And you do this by first observing them, is what I want to say.
Okay.
What do you have to say to that? What do you have to say to that? Do you agree?
I know.
So, again, can you repeat the proverb?
When in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Okay, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And now, can you please tell us what's the element of the day?
Gallium.
Gallium. Okay, tell us something about this element.
Gallium is a silvery white metal and is soft to cut with a knife.
Oh, it's that soft.
Like an alkali metal, but it's not an alkali metal. It's a metal, but it has unusual properties.
Okay, it's very hard to imagine a metal that is soft enough to cut with knife.
Lithium, sodium.
Okay, these are metals that can be cut with knife?
Yes.
Okay, so what are the other unusual properties?
If it is held in a person's hand, it can melt.
Oh wow, so it has like a very low melting point.
And gallium is not a good conductor of electricity.
That's also surprising because usually the metals are good conductors of electricity.
For example, gold is not.
Gold is not a good conductor?
Yes, I think so, because gold is very unreactive.
Really? Okay, I'm not sure about that. What else? What is other property?
But it is very shiny, so it's used to paint metals when melted.
See, I just googled this. Gold is a very highly conductive, which means that it's a metal that is highly conductive, which means that electricity can easily flow through it.
Oh.
See, gold is a very good, one of the best conductors, in fact, of the
electricity. I thought it could not.
No, this is an update for you then as well. So gallium is not a good conductor of most of the metals. I would say most of the metals are good conductors of electricity. Maybe excepting maybe this gallium you're saying, and maybe mercury, but I'm not sure.
Wait, gallium is similar to cadmium, I think.
Okay. So I just searched for some metals which are not good conductors. They're saying iron, mercury, and tungsten. And now gallium is added. And also bismuth.
Bismuth is a rainbow colored element. A rainbow colored metal.
Okay. Okay.
It has rainbow reflection. And I really wish I could buy one.
Okay. So basically they are saying the reason for a metal's conductivity depends on more than just number of free electrons. It also depends on the mobility of those electrons, that is the ease with which they are pulled through solid by an electric field. So therefore, the metals whose mobility of electrons is higher are better conductors. So, you know, silver is a better conductor than aluminium because of the higher mobility. Or pure copper is better than a copper alloy and so on. Anyhow, where is gallium used? Any idea?
Gallium? Gallium is very shiny, so it's used to paint mirrors when melted.
What? It is used to paint mirrors?
When melted. And they are also used for thermometers.
Thermometers?
Like mercury is also used for thermometers.
Okay.
And cadmium is quite similar to mercury, but it's made for batteries.
But we are talking about gallium today, right?
Talking about gallium.
So gallium is used for thermometers. It has a low melting temperature, like I said, 29 degrees Celsius, which is why it melts in human hand, because human body temperature is around
37.
Yeah.
Or 36.
Yeah, it has a very high boiling point, unusually high boiling point. Whatever you said, you know, it has unusual properties. So first of all, it has a very low melting temperature, which is 29 degrees. Unusually high boiling point, which is 2204 degrees Celsius.
How it has a low melting point, but has a high boiling point?
Yeah, that's very unusual. That's why they are using this in high temperature thermometers and in designing metal alloys that can melt easily. That's what they are doing it.
Black mercury and cadmium.
So is it toxic? I think it's non-toxic. It's like, so it looks like mercury for sure. Yes. So all in all, this was all about gallium. Should we end today's podcast?
We can.
Okay.
Bye.
See you then. Bye.